Blog Talk Radio.
All right, no sad songs today. As you know, good evening. This is Budget Wedding NYC for you on Friday, the 13th of February, 2015. And this is your host, of course, Charlina P.F. And this evening, I thought I'd do something a little bit different, not that much differently, I have to say, besides telling you about what's happening in my world of publishing, I also thought we'd do something a little bit different just because it's Valentine's Eve, Valentine's Day Eve. So happy Valentine's Day to all, one and all. So a little self-promotion. Of course, the long-awaited original book is out on Amazon. Woohoo! Buy a Kindle. No print version as yet. I'm still working on that. There were a lot of massive problems with the print version, with being able to print the proof, and so I have to start over from scratch. But that'll be out shortly, between now and mid-March, I'd say. Anyway, as you know, the book, New York City Budget Weddings, Elegant and Affordable, Creating Your New York City Wedding for Less Than $15,000, yep, here in New York City, is out, and it is on Kindle. Now, I personally had forgotten that this other book was out, which is so strange, until I was notified that I needed to reap the benefits of it being out because it's been selling. It is on the Nook for Barnes & Noble, and that book is called Creating Your New York City Wedding in 8 months or less. And I have various price points from $500 to $15,000. And I give you time frame. So if you have 3 weeks, I give you ideas on how you can complete your wedding preparation in those 3 weeks, and then in 5 months, in 8 months, in 6 weeks, and so forth. Now, also on Tuesday of this coming week, I'm going to be releasing 11, actually it's a little more than 11, but 11 secrets, that's the title of the book, from New York City Budget Weddings. So it's an overview of the book, of the original and the full volume book, plus you get secrets that are within that book and then some other secrets that aren't even in the original book. And that book will be selling on Amazon for 99 cents, just to give you a taste of what the full volume with all the resources is all about. And I'll give you an additional secret to that. You will, after Tuesday, if you'd like to get the book free, actually after today, I think. But if you'd like to get this book for free, all you have to do is sign up for my newsletter at budgetweddingsnyc.com. It's 99 cents, and get the 11 secret plus, 11 plus secrets for free. All righty. So now, as I said, we're celebrating, besides the publishing of my book, today is Valentine's Day Eve, so I hope that you all got your sweetie something, or you're preparing something, or you're doing something very special for your sweetie, either tonight or tomorrow, or all weekend. And President's Day is on Monday, so you can make it a full weekend of surprises. Baking, whatever. Okay, so what we're also going to be doing is I'm going to be playing from an excerpt from my celebratory teleseminar, which was for the launching of the book. And it's going to be Asha Johnson. She's a vision board expert. And she'll be talking about why it's so important to, and especially for people who are getting ready to get married, to really use a vision board to encapsulate what you're desirous of having in your wedding, leading up to the wedding and then afterwards. And also telling you that it's not a one-time thing. It's not something that you just use for a big event. You can use this throughout the rest of your life to receive the things that you're desirous to receive. And they can be tangible or non-tangible. And then afterwards, via a billboard, top 50 love songs. I thought I'd play you a couple of love songs just to get you in the mood for Valentine's Day. I hope that you don't mind my picks. Some of them are nice and some of them are naughty. So it'll just get you in the mood with a good old-fashioned love song, right? Alrighty, so let me take you to, let's see, shall I read my excerpt first or have Asha? I think we'll have Asha talk first. That'll be more fun. Okay, so as I say, this is an excerpt from, and this was on January 24th, was when the teleseminar, this was the third installment of the teleseminar, and as you know, there were four installments of that celebratory, a week worth of launch of the book. I was an artist. Okay, Asha Johnson, vision board expert.
Okay. Thank you so much. Wow, I have fun listening to you read apart from the site, and I'm just like, yeah, I remember writing that. I remember that. It's very cool to hear it back, I guess, orally.
Yeah. So now, I have to just say, I have to clarify to everyone, because when I initially heard you say "jewel," I always thought it was one word, "jewel."
Mm-hmm.
Then, two jewels, or you're already past tense, you have jewels all over you. But it is the space jewel of hope, which, yes, actually is like an entirely different meaning. So even though I did not ask you about this, in space, could you tell us why your company is called the jewel of hope?
Wow. About a year ago, well, probably more than a year ago, but a year ago I actually stepped out and decided that I wanted something different and activate a desire to change the way or influence the way people thought and took responsibility for their own thinking, therefore their own, and then ultimately their own actions. I do think that in the midst of a jewelry business that I became a part of, I wanted to enhance through business and entrepreneurship how people responded to social aspects to things that happen in everyday life, things that they might even watch on TV or in the news. It's never enough just to kind of go along with your life and your business. And you make it or you get rich or whatever it is, and yet you're not impacted by all of the other things that come with life, whether it's your personal life or the people in your immediate circle. So Bejeweled of Hope was, for me, an extension and an outlet to express what I was feeling outside of my business and ultimately in my everyday life, whether it be within business and other people and integrity or within just everyday life in my immediate circle and what media also fit in the messages that media sends, which sometimes I think is unfair and that's inappropriate.
Regularly conscious.
concentrate on those things there. You know, even when you think about as a young person, when you, along with the fact that entrepreneurship is not a part of when you grow up, what do you want to be? So, socially, we're still, even within our family, go to school, get a good job, make a living, et cetera, et cetera. But when it comes to entrepreneurship, or even within the media, that's not the same message. We're kind of tough to follow. We're not always empowered to give ourselves the strengthening messages to continue to move on. We're not always told that power within us to accomplish daily tasks that we have desired to complete. So it's a major to be able to almost reprogram yourself to say, you know, you are free, you are powerful, you are kind, you are valuable. You know, I am forgiving. I am able to complete all tasks. I am going to make an impression on 5 people's lives today that we need to begin to make responsible for in our everyday life and then go out and do those things. But if we don't do it for ourselves, that's not the message that we're getting on the outside. On the outside, it's everything else, but it's not necessarily that. It's whatever that person's giving off in that moment. So you've got to be just as responsible for how you treat yourself emotionally and verbally through positive actions as well. It's not. It's more strengthening that way.
Right. And I think that I was just reading something, I don't remember the title of it, but I think it's we have to get ourselves out of the idea that for the last, that a lot of people, especially Americans, have had for the last 100 years or so, that especially in the workforce, that the company that we are to start off with will take care of us. That was for the longest time, that was the idea, especially during the industrial age. Whereas in the information age, which we are 15 years or more deep in, it's the complete opposite. You are on your own, whether that you're taking commercials or, but you are on your own. Nobody's taking. So, go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. I'm listening. I'm sorry.
So, I was just going to say now, I talked to spoken about how we're all responsible for ourselves and self-talk. Do you think that within their belief system starts to think in vision boarding fully?
You know, when I looked at that question, I at first I was like, very first vision board workshop I had that was open to the public. There was definitely one thing, and I'm so grateful for that experience because there were a lot of different kinds of people. There were men there. There were women. And they were all, when it comes to, I guess, spiritual beliefs or religious practices, we even had different people with different backgrounds and belief systems like that. And I was impacted. If that sounds selfish or not, I don't know. Oh, but I was impacted because that said to me that it did not matter. You know, as long as you had skin, you were affected one way or another by a vision board, by creating your own destiny, by positive thinking. You needed to be in fellowship with other men and women or other people with forward in whatever it is you were designing. It's kind of like rubbing the sticks together to create heat, then a fire, you know, then friction, then a fire. In that room, every single person, no matter where they came from, that's what they desired, to create that heat among one another, to confirm one another's dreams, beliefs, and goals, and to get something that was going to be motivating and positive, and to push them for the rest of the year in whatever it is they desire to do. So, no, I guess my answer is yes or no. No, you don't, but you get to I am impacted by how I treat other people and how other people treat me. But doing it by myself is good and strengthening, but to be able to show and discuss or get rags on within the group, there's a sense of accountability now. So it's going to be somewhere in keyboard. It says, and it's in one of the last ones that I did, it said, I'm pulling it out. it said, launch, it said, be a fierce, focused, determined, prepared entrepreneur and launch, sell, and repeat. When I went to a workshop with some young people and they asked me, well, what does that have to do with two colored women on this board? It said to me three different things. Brown-skinned women are successful in business. It says to me that the message was on sell and repeat. If you find a process that works, continue to work it and do it over and over. You know, if it's not broken, they don't fix it. That's
right,
what it is.
Right.
Now, when I show this and I was able to say this to another person, when I see this visually every day, I remind myself, if it's not broke, don't fix it. Or find a system for my business that's going to work. And I'm going to be fierce about it. I'm going to be focused about it. I'm going to be determined. And I'm going to always make sure that I'm prepared to accomplish that task. And now everyone at my table is empowered by those words. And hopefully everybody that's listening is empowered by those words. Because I just said that's what I want to do. This is who I want to be.
Right. Right. Oh, I like that. And you know, when you were... Go ahead.
Yeah, so in comparison to other messages we might hear, now you've heard this message. And whether we like it or not, I'm sure you get a takeaway from that. Every time I read it, I get a takeaway from it. But every time someone hears it, they're inspired. And there I say, if I can do it, then you can do it. And the next time we talk, you're going to remember the, how the business is going. And that's what you're going to ask me.
Uh-huh.
And so now I'm accountable to you because we shared this vision. I shared this vision with you. It made an impression. There's several things on my board, but maybe that one made that impression on you. And so every time you see me, or AD&C sees me, that's one of the things that they're going to have. You're now my partners in my vision, one way or another, and you're going to ask me about that.
So,
all right, so that did not touch on wedding as much as I thought it would initially, but maybe I'll come back another time and we'll listen to that. In maybe not in its entirety because it is a two-hour, actually it was a little over an hour interview. But what you can take away from that is that whatever your subject matter is, you're collecting pictures either virtually or putting them out if you like, of what you desire to achieve in your life. And if it's a particular wedding dress, a particular venue, certain amount of flowers, whatever it is, you can put it on your virtual vision board, also known as Pinterest, or you can do your own in PowerPoint, or you can cut things out that you like. Alrighty, so let us move on. I'd like to read just a little bit from my book in relation to celebrating Valentine's Day. So this is the backstory. This is how we got this holiday, it's kind of a quasi-holiday because it's obviously the flower, candy, wine, and food industry has made it a holiday. However, it's not an official holiday in terms of you get a day off. Alrighty, so now, it was always taking hordes of men off to war to fight for his greater and greater expansion. He forbade his men to get married. He wanted them unencumbered so they wouldn't get homesick for their families. Alexander himself was not married and never thought about being married. He knew what he was good at and what his quest for his life was to be. And since he was the ruler, and general, he decided his men's quest as well. But lo and behold, as humans, we want to have attachment. So men started sneaking to a nearby priest who was sympathetic to their plight. Now, this priest has, Valentine is the priest, and that was his last name. And he, there are several legends about him, but I'll go on. I actually paraphrase what I was going to read next, but I'll read it here. Did you know that until 300 or 400 years ago, priests could marry and have their own wife? Back to the story. So this priest, by the name of, you guessed it, Father Valentine, would marry couples covertly so that Alexander would not know. But after some research, I came up with even more versions. It seems that Valentine was a Roman Catholic priest who was martyred in 269 AD. The Roman emperor at the time chose the gods, small g, to whom all people, including the priests, would bow down. Usually it was the ruler, but I do not have that exact information. It seems Saint Valentine was a disciple of Jesus, the Christ, so besides secretly marrying people, he was marrying them into the Christian faith instead of multi-theos, as was practiced by the ruler. He was thrown into jail, which his captors thought would put the fear of the gods into him, but it actually made him more aggressive. Ties, married, and continued to proselytize Christianity to anyone within hearing. He was so successful, he married and baptized a few guards, 46 people, including their families, as well. He was also known for his healing acumen. He even helped one of the jailer's blind daughters regain her sight by a prayer for her, and because of that success, he was praised by many. And also because of that success, he was also beheaded by the king. But before he was taken off to be beheaded, he left a note to the jailer's daughter, and I guess he told her he was very glad to gain her sight and that she had always been a friend to him, and he said, "This is from your Valentine." And that's how he was martyred, and that's how we got St. Valentine's Day. Now, we have only a couple of minutes left, so I am going to play, Minnie Riperton, because I love her. And we have less than a minute, but I'm going to play it in any case. So, Minnie Riperton, Loving You.